There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential, and the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of.
I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go. Welcome to Gamertag Radio episode 595. This is your host Danny, and joining me this week, regular co-host of the show, the homie himself, Paris.
What up?
What up, man? Wow, we're recording in the official studio here, you know, with two little, actually three tables.
Yeah,
this is premium,
it.
Y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So what's up, Paris? What's going on? Tomorrow's going to be a big day, man. Sony. Tuesday.
September. Wednesday.
Is it Wednesday?
Yeah, it's going to be Wednesday.
Okay, my bad. 7th. In 2 days, Sony's going to have a major, major press conference. And we are planning to record right after the press conference.
Yeah, we're going
to
record right after.
So be on the lookout for that. And first reaction and everything, man. It's going to be very, very interesting, man. We had a great conversation during... actually, for those who don't know, we're recording live here at Call of Duty XP 2016.
Probably hear the plane flying over right now. Yeah, we're at the Fabulous Forum in Los Angeles, California.
This is like a history,
dude,
right?
This is where the Lakers during the 80s, 90s is where they played until Staples Center.
Yeah. And across the street, what they're building...
This is the Rams stadium. The new Rams NFL stadium is going to be, right behind here.
Oh,
soon.
Cool. Yeah, we had a great conversation downstairs while we were eating. I was talking to Paris about like the whole tournament scene, esports and everything, man. It's getting like once you go to one of these events, because back then we used to go and cover a lot. And then we stopped for like a couple years with MLG and was like for Halo. I think Call of Duty a little bit. They started back then.
Yeah.
And Smash Brothers and everything. But now, Paris, this is crazy.
Like I told you last year. Remember last year I went to the Call of Duty Championships,
yes.
And I told you, I was like, oh, that opened my eyes. I see it now, dude. This is like, you know, it may not be athletic, but this is a sport now.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the forum right now is filled with people cheering these guys on. And
we got to see a couple of matches.
Huge,
it was really, really good.
Really intense.
It
was Optic Gaming
Infused?
And it was Sure.
Infused?
No, it was Sure.
No, I think it was Infused.
No, not I'm screwing up the name. Not Scrub, but it's like the controller. We're screwing it up. Anyways, we saw some people playing.
Yeah. It's hard to remember everybody's names and stuff. But one of the conversations we were having was we noticed that now every video game company are starting to do their own thing now.
You know,
EA just made announcements earlier this year. Activision been doing it now for a couple years now with this. Microsoft too. Things are really, really changing the industry. Instead of having there's still gonna be independent companies that have tournaments, but now the companies wanna take advantage of this and do their own thing too.
Exactly. So, and that's the thing, because like you bring up Microsoft, for example. They obviously already got Halo. They're about to bring Gears into it. They're doing some stuff with Forza. I mean, they own that. They're the only ones that can do that. So anytime you see these in the esport, it's sponsored by Microsoft. Xbox is branded everywhere on it. Like you said, Activision now with Call of Duty, as we're here right now, is huge. Mm-hmm. EA is jumping in. You know they're going to do stuff with Battlefield. They're going to do some stuff with Titanfall 2. It's on and on. I mean, even again, I'm not sure if they've officially said anything or whatever, but you got to think Activision or at least Blizzard's going to do something with Overwatch.
Overwatch is pretty big too.
And then I mean even Destiny, that's just the thing. Like we've been joking all this weekend, 2016 is kind of becoming the year of the shooter.
It is,
and all of it's being geared towards esports.
Honestly, the majority of them are pretty good.
Yeah, that's
Doom
the thing.
Is
they're good. Yeah,
Doom, Overwatch, Call of Duty that we played in now, mm-hmm. the remastered Modern Warfare and Infinite Warfare. Yeah. We played a couple of games, amazing. Gears coming out. I mean, yeah, this year is the year of shooters for sure, man. Yeah. And Dishonored, I think, comes out late in November.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not necessarily a shooter, that's another high-profile game coming out.
But the thing is, too, there's some companies that they can't really create their own tournaments, but they could sponsor tournaments. Like, you know, right here, PlayStation is sponsoring
this tournament. Well, that's what we were saying. Like, if you look at PlayStation, obviously they're sponsoring Call of Duty. PlayStation 4 is plastered everywhere you look at this event. But Sony doesn't have their own internal game to do for esports. Like I was telling you, I think the hope for them was Killzone, that they wanted Killzone to become that. And obviously it never took off on the multiplayer side to get anywhere close.
I think if they bring back SOCOM,
could potentially, it would rival Rainbow Six if they did that.
Definitely, for sure, for sure. Yeah. But one thing, though, like Ubisoft, they could actually do this with Rainbow.
Yeah. I thought they are.
Like Rainbow their Six, own their own
well,
thing.
Well, no, they're not doing their
That's
own
what
thing.
I'm saying.
That's going back to that.
Again, it could easily sponsor independent companies to start like promoting the game, like which other companies have done in the past. But when you see Microsoft, EA, Activision really taking advantage of this, this is a totally different crowd. The casual crowd really don't care about that stuff, but the hardcore EA Sports fans, they love this, man.
Oh,
it's like a sport,
big time.
You know? So.
And like I was telling you, Ed, and I can't remember exactly what it's called, but Microsoft is about to do their own internal leagues through Xbox Live. That's, again, them controlling the narrative of that. You get these teams and these leagues on Xbox Live playing Halo, playing Gears, doing Forza, and whatever else, and they build up their reputation and all that. They go to these tournaments. It's through Xbox Live. It's, you know, Major Nelson's on there smiling, skinning and grinning, doing that old thing. Mm-hmm. And they own it, you know, and like we know Activision, Call of Duty is still the leader in the clubhouse.
They're
the GOAT. So this thing that we're at right now, I mean, think about it. We're at for one game.
Yes.
And it's huge.
Huge.
Just the money being thrown around here is ridiculous.
And I was having a conversation with, you know, friends that have been here that's part of media and everything. And I'm like, man, how much do you think Activision has spent on this event? Because remember, you add renting the venue.
Yes.
Putting all this stuff.
Employing everyone. Security.
Shuttles for press, influencers, YouTubers, and stuff like that.
They're feeding. I mean, just crazy. Full disclosure, the whole thing. You know?
And it's also crazy. $2 million that they're giving for the winner of the tournament. And I know Sony also provided something because they are sponsoring this event too with Activision. But this is like an Activision thing. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, how much do you think they actually...
Minimum $10 million.
No, it can't be no 10. No,
I would... That's an
exaggeration.
I don't think that's an exaggeration. No, I really don't. I really don't.
Honestly, maybe 3.4.
We should find out.
Four.
We should find out.
Cause that's a lot, dude.
I put it closer to 10. I think 3 is low. Because like you said, 2 million. I'm including the 2 million prize. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. 10, dude.
8. Okay. 8 to 10. I would say 8 to 10.
I'll go max 4 or 5 max.
With all the swag that they're giving away. I mean, I know people bought tickets to the game, but if you really look at the price of those tickets to come to this,
they're just paying
for the game.
Yeah.
Really. The rest of this is just come on, play, have fun. Da, da, da,
but at the same time, they're promoting this.
Exactly.
Everywhere. I don't know if you drive around, there's like like HD TV screens outside where people can see that. They join also with like local radio stations here to promote it. It's plus they're streaming it online.
Well, I'm about to say there's millions of people globally watching this right now.
Yeah, and it's gonna get crazier. Oh, and plus I forgot about this: having two major recording artists to perform.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. add it up. It ain't cheap. Look, Snoop ain't coming here for a nickel bag. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true, man. But it's crazy, man. And yeah. This is only for one game, and there's like multiple activities here, man. Mm-hmm. Which is, it's cool. Like, you could go to. We just discovered this today that you could stream on Facebook.
Right.
One of the multiplayer games.
Yeah.
I didn't know. We just showed up like, oh snap.
Yeah.
So we did that. I was playing horrible. Like before the streaming, I was doing great. Then I started streaming. Maybe I got nervous because people were watching.
I'm telling you that. I don't know what that map was called. It was the one that it's not an amusement park, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It was.
Dude, I can't remember the name of it.
I probably died 25 times on that. I just kept spawning in and dying.
Good thing you were not streaming that. Oh, my God.
Oh, it was terrible.
What else, Paris? I mean, we have fan mail. I don't know if you want to answer a couple of fan mail stuff, because we got some here.
Okay, let's do it.
I should also play the voicemail, too, for one of them. And it's time for fan mail. Yes, live from Call of Duty XP.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
Hey, Danny, Pete, and Paris. This is Juan coming in from New York, New York. I sent in a question before on email, and Pete said my name correctly. It was Sucre. Anyways, had a little two questions. First is on Mass Effect Andromeda. Would you guys think about the EA Play showcase that they had? What do you think about the embargo that EA has on their hype before they sell enough copies of Battlefield 1 and Titanfall 2? And what do you think about Manveer Air and that Gamergate situation going on Twitter? Another situation that I wanted to ask is Paris. I was the guy on Reddit that posted the thing about the Scorpio being more powerful than 1080 Ti. You replied to that, but you didn't reply to me. So I'm going to say what you said verbatim. I'm going to say something real crazy right now. You're hearing it, like Larry say, exclusive. If you look at the specs of a Scorpio compared to my current rig, even with a 1080 in it, it beats it. So it made me pause and think as I'm watching that, do I need a Scorpio for true 4K gaming, or do I just cause think about it? Even if I get a 1080 right now, I'm probably going to have to invest in 1080 Ti or something like that in 2017 to match what they're doing, and the cost of 1080 Ti is the damn Scorpio. So let me know what you guys think. Love you guys. Keep up the good work.
All right. And Pete, thanks for messing up his name.
I thought he said he got it right.
He said he got, well, I don't know.
Whatever. It doesn't matter.
4-3.
Let me say this first. The Gamergate stuff, we're not touching that on this
show. We don't talk about that stuff here. Yeah.
But I'll go to what he just said about me with Scorpio and the PCL. And I'm pretty sure that comment had to have been before I even got the 1080. Doesn't sound like I had the 1080 at the time.
So that was a very long time ago, right?
A while ago.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say no to a 1080 Ti, but I can play 4K 30 frames per second pretty consistently, like things on The Witcher 3 and you know, of that sort. So again, I don't necessarily need a Scorpio next year for my 4K to fixate my 4K gaming habit, but we'll see. I'll never say never. Just like I said, I'll never say never to a Scorpio because, you know, look, next year I might have a jacket with a freaking scorpion on the back of it. I don't know.
Yeah. You might become a huge fan.
Yeah, huge fan. Wait, what was the first thing you said? I'm dumb.
Something on embargo, the EA.
Oh,
embargo.
Yeah. Mass Effect Andromeda. Just talking about all the embargo stuff. I think it's smart that EA hasn't, you know, gone all out with this information about Mass Effect Andromeda. They're waiting until they know, all right, we got a date. Here you go. Here's the gameplay. Because, look, they already know they got us. We're all hyped for it. We're going to get it. No need leading people on and on and on. And then you have another Last Guardian on your hands where people are like, God, you've been talking about this game for so long. You know, when is it coming out? But I mean, they've said in recent times that, you know, information's coming later this year about Andromeda. It sounds like it's going to be a 2017 release. I would assume in the fall of 2017, which means, you know, it's going to be Neo and Scorpio compatible. So
yes.
I'm looking forward to seeing it.
I hope we get to see something maybe during the Video Game Awards in December.
Yeah, if I had to guess, it's probably we'll get like an in-depth trailer, probably be at the Video Game Awards. And he also brought up like Battlefield 1 and things like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really know what to say. I mean, I know a beta's going on right now. I've not played it personally. I know you played it a little bit.
Oh, well, Battlefield?
Yeah, Battlefield 1.
I played only a couple of games. I really don't want to say much because it was like a quick thing. I had a really early flight to come here to LA. The thing is about Battlefield to me is like the map is way too big for me. And just, I don't know, it takes some time to run to the next area and everything. I don't know. I prefer smaller maps.
Yeah.
So like, you know, stuff like Titanfall 2, I'm really hype about that more than Battlefield. So,
well,
but it's not a bad game. It just... the style is not for me. That's the only thing.
You know? My only thing is, especially being here at Call of Duty XP, and we just know the monster that Call of Duty is. I mean, if starting October 14th, you're going to have Gears of War 4, the Call of Duty beta, then Battlefield 1 a week later.
Yeah.
And right then, behind that is Titanfall.
Yep.
And then right behind that is Call of Duty actually coming out. So there's going to be a lot of shooter competition within a 3-week window. So I would hope that EA, because you know, for the average person, like it was funny when I was standing in line before we even came into Call of Duty XP, I just listened to some gamers talk. And, you know, we're aware that people aren't into it as much as we are as far as keeping up with the news, but just listening to some of those guys talk, I mean, they're almost clueless.
Yeah,
on a lot of stuff. Like one guy was telling me how PlayStation Network gets hacked every month.
Yeah,
and you know, he won't give them their credit card information.
And that's the thing. That's how rumor starts and stuff goes around. And I don't know. People should just do more research about that stuff. But whatever, it's all good.
They shouldn't be expected to. But going back to the point of Battlefield 1, EA is going to have to get the marketing machine with that going a little more, get closer to launch, because people. Look, Activision makes sure you know Call of Duty's coming.
Yeah.
You see that everywhere. So
you know when they announced that beta.
That was on purpose.
That was on purpose. Yeah. That was like shots fired to EA.
That is literally to take away from the hype of Battlefield and for Gears of War 4.
Yeah.
Put all the attention on Call of Duty, even though it's just a beta.
Yep. All right, so we have another email. This is from Richard. He goes, "You guys had a great email that asked about regret and trading games. Paris had a great story about his PlayStation experience that had me laughing for a long, long time. I also have a regret. It isn't about trading in, but it's still a huge regret. The year was 2003 and had my heart broken. My girlfriend at the time dumped me and told me to grow up. During my hurt and clouding thinking, I said to myself, I'll show her. During that time, I owned a Nintendo, Super Nintendo, N64, GameCube, Game Boy, Virtual Boy. Wow, can't believe you have Virtual Boy. Game Boy Advance, and also Game Boy SP, Dreamcast, and a ton of games. I packed it all of it, into a huge garbage bag and threw it in the dumpster. I have since slowly picked up some of them again, but it doesn't feel the same. Thanks for reading. Rich Booth." Shout out to Rich, man. Thanks. That's crazy. You picked up all your gaming collection and threw out the garbage? That's tough, man.
Yeah, that is.
That's really tough. That beats you, Pat.
Oh, that definitely beats me.
Yeah, man. Do you have any emails you want to read? It's a couple. We have a lot here.
I know there was. Oh, no, the Mario one. I got to read all this right. one. Okay.
Oh, is it the same guy? Same guy?
This is the guy that was with the bias, me with the micro.
Oh, okay. All right.
So here we go.
Go.
All right, ready?
Yeah.
All right. So this one's from Mario. I know he's emailed us before. I think he's like, isn't he in Italy or something, I believe. I can't remember. But anyways, thank you for the email, Mario. So he goes, LOL, the Xbox One looks like a microwave.
Yeah.
I was cracking up when you said that, but come on, Paris. Yes, it's bigger than the PlayStation 4, but it's not that big. I've had mine since day one, and it's super quiet, and I game on it every night, and I've never even noticed the thing. Pictures of the new PlayStation 4 base model, it's not a slim, leak, and you say it doesn't matter what it looks like as long as it plays your games. Yeah. Don't you see the bias? I wouldn't call you a Sony fanboy. Well, a lot of people do, but I don't know why. But I'm seeing some light shades of bias from you, LOL. I'm looking forward to the Sony event. I think everyone is going to be blown away. By the way, I've been thinking of building a gaming PC for a while now, but with the Scorpio coming out next year, what benefit is there to building a $1,000 to $1,500 gaming rig when the Scorpio is going to run games at 4K? Is it? Might be vaporware. Why would I build a 4K gaming PC that's bigger than a microwave? Oh, and he did bigger in all caps.
Big.
When I can get a 4K console that's much, much smaller. LOL. God bless. Okay. So, first of all, I was joking. I mean, I'm just poking fun at Xbox One because you look at the Xbox One. Let's be real. It looks like a microwave. I'm not the only one that said that. Does the size of it matter? No. Is it whisper quiet? Yes. If you're happy playing games on it, knock yourself out. You don't need to go get a 1S to enjoy playing Xbox One games. That's a choice. Same with PlayStation 4 and getting the Slim or getting the Neo or getting the Scorpio. It's all your choice and what you prefer to play games on. Now, going this thing with Scorpio, again, if you're comfortable playing on a console, I absolutely don't go spend $1,500 on a gaming PC. I mean, that is definitely at the higher end for the average casual person. If you're going to be able to get a Scorpio for it, let's say it's $600, but yeah, it truly does 4K gaming, 60 frames per second. That is a fantastic value, and knock yourself out. You're going to get all the third-party games on it. You're going to get all the exclusive Xbox games on it, and it's perfectly fine. Again, it comes down to choice and what you prefer to do. Look, I've already invested the money in my PC, so I would be crazy to not take advantage of it if I have it, you know, which goes back to an email we even had previously. So again, it's just preference, but I know Mario is just giving me
a hard time.
You give me a hard time, so it's all good, man. Thank you for the email.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Yeah, so we have another one. This is from Troy in Phoenix. He's like, hey, Gamertag Radio crew, just wanted to weigh in and on the PlayStation versus Xbox retail releases, exclusive releases that has been a topic of the last couple of shows. I think you guys, like Pete, have fallen into the trap that exclusives need to be released in the fall to count, while exclusive releases the rest of the year are largely discounted in exclusives discussion. Truth is, Sony release schedule this gen are letting the AAA multiplats carry the system during the holiday period. Then they are having very strong winter and spring quarters and preparing releases throughout the rest of the year. If you think about it, it makes far more sense doing it this way rather than throwing all the releases at the same fall period and competing with the multiplats that are released during like September all the way to November, like Microsoft has been doing, then going on 9 months, or as Greenberg described that period, quote unquote, the preseason. Without a single AAA retail release, with I think the only real exception being Quantum Break last April, okay?
Uncharted.
Whichever release schedule you prefer, I think it's time to drop the narrative that Sony got nothing just because their way of doing releases doesn't match your idea or your console of choice's idea of how it should be done. Anyway, just my two nickels. Thanks, Troy and Phoenix. Thank you, Troy.
Okay, see, when we talk about this stuff, we're just looking at it for what it is. I mean, I don't think there's any bias on when games are being released. I think all of us agree. Just release a game when it's ready. It shouldn't have to come out in a particular window or whatever. But look, business is business, and that's how that stuff happens. And you look at Sony this last year, arguably their biggest game of 2016 came out in, what was that, May? And that was Uncharted 4.
Uncharted 4, yeah.
So I don't think Sony is purposely trying to stack things into a particular holiday window, but that's just the traditional model of how these things work. When you get into the, you know, the August, September, October, November time frame, that's usually when the biggest games of the year come out. And that's just how it's been. I wish it would change. I think delays have changed some of that, like a game like Horizon for Sony, which would have come out this holiday, got delayed to February. So that's going to be a big game that's going to come out in a non-traditional time.
Gran Turismo Sport.
I think that's not coming out till next fall. But again, it got delayed, so it's coming out at some point in 2017.
But I mean, is that a smart choice for them to release games here and there and not a bunch at the same time?
I think it is, but that's not what they do. You can look at any publisher, and that's not what they do. They stack.
Microsoft does it like that.
EA is putting out two of their biggest games of the year back to back in the same month. To me, that's crazy. I think it's crazy. Why are you putting out Battlefield 1 and Titanfall 2 back-to-back?
But you know what? When you think of it that way, I think that they're confident that their games are going to be good, and they're confident that the fans of these games are going to buy it no matter what.
And that's part of it, too. These are established IPs that have a built-in audience that it don't matter when you release them, they're going to go buy them.
Not Titanfall, because still Titanfall is a little bit new, especially for the PlayStation crowd. It's not established like Battlefield.
That is true. That is true. You're correct. Because this is its first time coming on a PlayStation 4. So, in that sense, I do get it, which furthers my argument. Why the hell are you putting them out back-to-back a week? Still doesn't make sense to me. Why are you putting out Titanfall 2 a week before Call of Duty?
Yeah.
Makes no sense to me.
Yeah. But I think Microsoft has been doing great with this, man. Their focus is the holidays. and a little bit during the spring. But the holidays, they go all out with marketing, with releasing multiple games and everything. I think that's a smart move, man. If they have the content and they're confident, go for it. And I think, wait a minute, when Dead Rising comes out, is that this year?
I can't remember.
You know what? Look it up. I think this is this year, but when? When is Microsoft is releasing
Dead Rising 4, right?
Yeah.
Hold on. Yeah, looks like Dead Rising 4 is coming out December 6th.
Wow.
This year.
I mean, if you actually think about it, they don't want to have probably the same situation with Tomb Raider, releasing it in the middle of like a bunch of other games.
You think?
But releasing in December is a little bit smart, but in a way it's like, damn, you're missing out.
I would say push it into January, but they don't want to miss Christmas.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
They don't. And here's one argument. Well, not an argument, but Q. I was talking with Q. We're driving over here to Call of Duty XP, and he was like, you know what? Tell Paris that, you know, if a game comes out after Black Friday, it's okay. It will sell good. It's not going to be as much as Black Friday when all the parents and, everybody's at the store trying to look for those specials and everything. It still is going to sell. I believe Rainbow Six came out in December. Early right. December, instead of releasing it in November,
and the sales didn't pick up until 2016.
After, yeah, but yeah. Still there was sales. They got some income with that, you know.
See, Q purposely did that because he knew if we were together, I would win the argument. Oh. I said it, Q, because I know you're listening. I would win this argument. Yeah. I disagree with that. I still think if you got a big AAA game, you need it out before Black Friday, which goes back, you know, with the email and everything talking about when you release stuff. I think. Just marketing shows, sales statistics show you put a game out before Black Friday, it's going to have more sales than if you put it out after, or just skip Christmas altogether and wait until January or February when it doesn't have any competition and you can do more marketing towards it and stands alone. Okay. That's my two cents. I could be wrong. What do I know? I don't know nothing.
You just sit home and put it to your old man. From where?
St. Petersburg, Florida.
There you go. Any other emails?
I think that's good because there's another one directed at Pete, but Pete's not here.
Oh, so yes. We'll save those for Pete.
I have a crazy prediction.
Okay.
Since we're on, this is the episode before Neo is out.
Yes.
So Miss Leo has a prediction for you.
Hey, darling. This is certified psychic Miss Leo. The guys at Gamertag Radio have pulled me out of retirement to give them some free readings. So I've been using the power of the tarot cards to look into the future, baby. You hear me?
Yeah, ain't saying no names, not saying nothing. Just, you know, some conversations that I may or may not have been having, you know, here at the event.
I think I know which one. I know which one this is. I don't know, man.
Neo's coming late September, early October. And my crazy theory is this. What? It's at least 5 teraflops. They're going to up it based on some conversations I may or may not have had.
All right. Do you think 4K gaming?
Yes. But they're going to cheat. And that's why Microsoft was very smart in their marketing to say true 4K gaming. I think so.
Wait. When you say cheat, what do you mean by that?
They're going to do some upscaling. I think they're going to hit 1440p or some weird resolution.
But that's not true.
In between 4K and 1440p, and then they're going to upscale it to 4K.
So it's
and
basically
call it
what
that.
Microsoft went through with the
dynamic
whole 1080.
Scaling. They're going to do the same thing. That's what I think Neo is going to be. It's not going to be true 4K gaming, but it's going to look good. I think that's their argument is going to be. Why do you care if we're scaling it if it looks that great on the screen? Which is exactly what Microsoft was doing at the beginning of the generation.
Yeah, that's true.
Huh. And then Microsoft's going to be able to counter that with Scorpio and go, well, we don't scale anything. It's true 4K gaming.
Hmm.
That's what I think. And
yeah, you put that together. It sounds like I can see that happening.
Yeah.
Because why would they announce a brand new system that's powerful? Why are they going to say the game is going to play the same, it's going to look the same, but you have 4K streaming? I think that's not enough for people to go to the stores and buy it. But if they do that, I think that's going to push
They're just going to say, because again, they're not going to talk about it scaling or whatever. It isn't going to be until Digital Foundry and those guys dig into it and see, we're going to realize, well, actually the native resolution, you know, is, you know, 1680 or some, you know, well, some resolution. Yeah. And then they're bumping it to 2160. But at their press conference on September 7th, they're going to say it's 4K gaming. That's what they're going to say.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where they're going to show it off as. And my second crazy prediction
This is your fourth or third? I don't know.
I always got crazy prediction. My other one is, since nameless person that's here disagrees with me, they're going to have an Elite controller for the PlayStation 4, because they're going to let Scruff and the rest of these guys have their third-party controllers to be the ones at the tournament. That's what we're
always
seeing.
Why that person said no, that's not possible for Sony to make that move?
He just thinks that, that person thinks that Sony, being a traditional Japanese company, that's just not their MO to do something like that. Whereas Microsoft obviously did that with the Elite controller.
I disagree because...
Well, you're disagreeing with me.
No, I disagree with that person that was telling you, not with you.
Yeah, yeah.
But the reason is, and I mentioned this to this person too, that it's a new time, man. When they were designing the PlayStation 4, they had people from PlayStation America, the U.S.,
yep,
heavily, heavily involved with this product. It's not how it used to be.
Yep.
Back in the days, it was all about the Japanese companies. They were controlling everything. Now, gaming has been selling way more here and Europe more than Japan. So I think that if PlayStation here in the States have the right presentation and tell the top dogs in Japan, PlayStation Japan, look, let's create this Elite controller. Esports is a thing. We could get income from that. It will help us. And at the same time, we're going to get that crowd to buy the PlayStation. They could do it. I could see that happening, you know? And if they don't announce Elite controller, I think it will be a really stupid move because, like you said, other companies are going to do it. And these companies are going to make money out of that more than PlayStation.
And then,
you know,
when these, let's just say Optic, I don't even know if they won today or not, but let's say Optic Gaming wins again this year because they won last year, and they stand on stage and they're holding a Scruff controller and not this PlayStation 4 Elite controller. That's big.
Because
then the person watching on Twitch or whatever seeing this, like, oh, man, one day I want to be those guys. What are they using? What gear do they use? What headsets do they use? What controller do they use?
Yeah.
And they're going to see that, and they're like, well, I'm buying that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Now, let's have this conversation. This is a pretty good conversation. We were talking about this earlier today. We were watching the tournament live, and... Previous years, these esports teams, they were playing the tournaments with the Xbox controller.
Right.
This time, they're playing the PlayStation controller. And I noticed that some of them were kind of off. Not 100%. They were not playing 100% like the previous years with the Xbox controller. I know now they're getting used to this, the whole tournament with the PlayStation and stuff, a PlayStation controller. You think that was a mistake, or?
It's an adjustment period because, you know, last year Sony took over the Call of Duty, the marketing deal, you know. And this year, you know, obviously PlayStation's doing it. So there's a transition. These teams formed and they basically were using Xbox controllers for years. So now you're switching over to a PlayStation 4 controller on a competitive level. There's going to be adjustment. But at the same time, everyone's on a level playing field. It's not like anyone has an advantage over the other.
No, no.
You know,
yeah,
you're all using the same equipment. So, you know, I think by next year, year after, it won't even be an issue anymore. Which, again, that's why I think Sony's going to have an official controller for esports.
And
why wouldn't they?
And push it. And you never know. They might even have an update for PlayStation, the dashboard, but the PSN dashboard, whatever, they might have an update where they could also do tournaments. They could add that easily.
The wireless dongle just came out for the PC, so now you can use a PlayStation 4 controller on the PC more easily for any game. So, it makes sense. Come out with this competitive Elite controller that's a PlayStation 4 brand. Now because right now, Xbox is a de facto controller that you go to.
Yeah.
That you play on any game that isn't exclusive to a PlayStation.
Here's another thing too that Microsoft took advantage of that time where they were pushing these. They were either involved with other companies that had tournaments or they were doing it on their own now.
Mm-hmm.
But they were pushing esports more than Sony.
Yeah.
I hope that Sony sees this with the whole Call of Duty, and when they have the right game in the future, they could start doing this, man. Take advantage. Because there's a whole crowd out there that loves PlayStation, but there's no esports. This is the only thing right now.
But the reason is
because Sony has a marketing deal with Activision for Call of Duty.
But don't you think that was the reason they outbid Microsoft to get it? That's the point. They know they don't have anything internal to promote.
I think it wasn't that, Paris. I think Microsoft rather invest that money of having that marketing deal with Activision with something else.
I disagree. I 1,000% disagree with you. You cannot sit here and tell me that Microsoft would not want to still be the home of Call of Duty.
Why not?
You can't tell me. Because, you know, going back to the conversation, listening to these guys in line while I was waiting.
Yeah.
All of them were talking about, man, I'm Xbox, man. Xbox, that's where I play my multiplayer games. Xbox, everything's Xbox. I don't like that they went to Sony, blah, 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 blah. That's all they're talking about. Sony knows that, too. They outbid Microsoft to get this because they want to get that average person to start playing their competitive games on PlayStation.
But, you know,
because right now it was Xbox.
Yeah, but you know what? This is the crazy thing. Microsoft been doing this for so long, that marketing deal with Activision, that when people think of Call of Duty...
In the short term.
No.
In the short term.
No,
let's have this conversation five years from now.
We will. Now, here's the thing. It's the same thing as Destiny. When you say Destiny...
You think PlayStation.
You think PlayStation. You're not thinking about Xbox.
Right.
Titanfall. You think Xbox or you think PlayStation?
Like you said, it's too new.
It is too new.
It's too new. And if and we already know,
yeah,
PlayStation is kind of the lead platform. They're going this time with Titanfall.
Yeah.
If EA's taking it into the competitive scene, it's going to be the home. People are going to think PlayStation for that. That's my point.
I don't know. It's going to take a long time, man.
This is how I know they still wanted Call of Duty, Microsoft. They went and got Battlefield. So you can't tell me they're like, oh, we don't need to invest it.
Well, they also have they don't have a marketing deal with Titanfall 2. I think Sony has that.
That's
deal.
What I'm saying. That's
so
Sony.
That's Sony. I'm thinking I don't know. I feel like Microsoft just got tired.
They got outbid. That's what
you
I think.
You think so?
Yes. I think they got outbid, and I think Sony realized they needed something on the esports scene.
Maybe you're right. At the same time, the relationship with Activision and Sony has been stronger now. When your console is selling a lot of units and they're like in first place, these third parties are going to try their best to work with the companies as number one more than ever. You know, previous years it was 360, you know, up there, and especially it was selling more copies on the 360 version more than the PlayStation version. So of course they're going to be having that relationship with that company, you know? So now, I don't know, man. I just don't see them getting outbid, man. I think it was more of like just they want to move on and invest that money on other things, man.
I disagree.
All right, we'll do that. We'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find out.
We'll find out.
End of the day, hey, it is what it is.
It's just a conversation, guys. Yeah. Come on, it's not no fanboy stuff. So I love debating this. This is the business side and all that stuff. It's cool.
Well, I will say for the record, though, Danny has a green microphone. I just want to say that.
Yes. Why not? I have all colors. I have red.
Shout out to David because he pointed that out in the picture.
Yo, David, you're a punk, David. You're a punk. Yeah, emerald, man. Anything else, man? Before we wrap it up, I think we're almost there.
You know, Wednesday's going to be an interesting day, man, to see exactly how Sony is going to message this Neo and the Slim and whatever other tricks they got up their sleeve.
What would they do that you'd be like, I'm not buying that console.
$600. $600, and it's the original rumored specs.
They're not going to put a $600.
No. Of course not. I mean,
$400,
$399, $450 at the most.
I'm in a word, man. Scorpio, man. If they're pushing this hardware like as the powerful hardware.
Well, again,
man, I don't know.
The conversation we may or may not have had, you know, while we're here. Supposedly, they're holding the final dev kits until September 7th because they don't want that final spec to leak before the event. Which tells me it's because it's more than the rumored one.
I don't believe that, man.
Well, hey,
I think they're gonna save it to closer, early next year.
I don't know. This mystery person sure seems to know, and this isn't the only person that said this to me. So you know, I'm just going by what I hear. I don't know nothing.
Why is it that every time we're in an event, random people from the industry?
You know, okay. Let's talk about this before we go.
Yeah.
That's the craziest thing. We'll be doing whatever we're doing. Hey, record. Having a conversation. People volunteer information without us saying nothing. Now, one person I may not have slickly kind of got the conversation going, yeah. But another person just volunteered it.
Yeah.
You know? But I think because they know, we're not going to rat them out.
That's true.
Yeah.
And on that note, we're going to wrap it up. Head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it/gamertag and listen to our shows there and subscribe, show us love, post your review on iTunes or follow us on Spotify, Stitcher.
Oh, I got one
radio.
I'm gonna interrupt you.
Yes.
So you see, now you see how it feels.
Yeah.
To your face, I interrupted
Yes. I'm still gonna do it.
I just wanna say real quick, I've been trading emails with Deej, so Deej is gonna come on soon.
Ooh,
talk about
nice.
Rise of Iron. He even said he wants to try and get it in before Rise of Iron, but if not, we'll definitely do it after. But it's gonna happen.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Or email us at fanmo@gamertagradio.com. Or go to speakpipe.com/gamertagradio. And live from Call of Duty XP 2016, Paris. We're done?
Yeah, that's okay. It. Let's go play Modern Warfare Remastered again.
Remember, stay tuned. We're going to have a big, big roundtable discussion about this whole PlayStation Neo. Paris, I hope you're prepared for Wednesday.
Oh, I am. And again, I'm looking at Twitter right before we go out of here. And I won't even say who it is, but it's the guy. He gets all the information. Sony has already shipped 43 million PlayStation 4s since launch.
Yeah, that's big.
That is insane.
That's big. That's huge. All right. So we're out. Until next time. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.